Amen. I want to invite your attention today to the book of Revelation, and chapter 2 is where we're going to begin. As we begin, I would also share with you, we did have my follow-up with the surgeon last week, this past Wednesday in Nashville at Vanderbilt, and he said I'm doing very well, and he said that he would remove all restrictions. I said, okay, I'm good with that. I am very good with that. And so, praise God I'm here today. And we give God the glory. And so let's get started. We're going to kind of set the course for the new direction. It's really not a new direction. It's just a reminder of the direction we should be going. The coming months, we're going to have that direction set by understanding who we are and why we're here. Okay? You understand the purpose of Victory Missionary Baptist Church. Let's talk about our mission statement. Our mission statement is found in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Now, I want you to say this with me. Okay? It's 37 through 40. We're going to read this together, and you're going to see this a lot in the weeks and months ahead. Okay? Are you ready? This is what we're about. Here we go. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and the foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. We do two things at Victory. And as we go into the future, we're going to focus on two things. We're going to focus on loving God and loving people. That's why we're here. Now, we're going to start in that direction from the book of Revelation chapter 2 today. And we're going to figure out where we are. To know where we're going, we have to know where we're going to start from, right? Okay. Revelation chapter 2 verse 1, would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands says this, I know your deeds, your toil and your perseverance, and you cannot tolerate evil men. And you put those to the test who call themselves apostles, and they are not. And you found them to be false. You have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary, but I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I am coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place, unless you repent. Let's pray. Heavenly Father. Father, we pray for the gift of love today. Sometimes we let things slip. We let things go. We take things for granted. And we fail to love. So Lord, today we come to you, being reminded that our purpose is to love. It's to love you with all our heart, soul, and mind, and to love others as ourselves. Now as we examine this passage, Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit, will you please apply it to each and every individual life as appropriate. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, we read about seven churches. Okay, known as the seven churches of Asia. And I would share with you that these seven churches do represent seven dispensations or seven periods of time, right, in the history of the New Testament church. And where we are now is church number seven, Church of Laodicea. That's the age in which we're living now. Okay, but what I also want to focus on, let you know, and this is our primary focus as we study these churches, is that in every church age, there is a there are people or churches that match the churches that are in here, one of these seven churches. For example, there are a lot of churches today that are like this church at Ephesus. And that's why the title of the message is, Where is Your Membership? You see, I'm not talking about where is your official church role membership. I don't think God is really impressed with church roles. I'm talking about where is your membership. I'm not saying church roles are not important. No. It's important that you be a part of a New Testament church. But as we read these churches, I want to ask you to ask yourself, which one of these churches do I belong to? Where is my church membership? Because here's the reality. Out of these seven churches, you're a member of at least one of these. It's interesting that there are seven churches. You know, seven is the number of completeness. Every kind of church that there is found among these churches. And so today I'm going to ask, we're going to ask ourselves as individuals, am I a member of the church at Ephesus based on my action? Okay? I don't want you to look at anybody else. I don't want you to think, yeah, that's right. If they start loving, we'll do a lot better as a church. No. They're not part of the equation. You are the equation. I am the equation. All right? I'm going to look at me. You look at you. Do we make that agreement to begin with? Amen. All right. And we start with the phrase, to the angel of the church at Ephesus. Right? Now, the point to this writing is to get the message from Jesus to the churches. And so to the church at Ephesus, he writes to that angel of that church at Ephesus. And I want you to understand that that word angel means messenger. And literally, it means messenger of God. One who is sent to bring a message from God. But I also want you to understand that just because you read the word angel in the Bible does not mean we're talking about a supernatural being. And in this case, I'm well convinced that we're not talking about an angel Gabriel or a supernatural being. We're talking about a God-designated messenger that he has in that church at Ephesus. Let me ask you, who's God's messengers in churches? The pastor. The pastor. This angel, this messenger that John is giving this message to, or Jesus is giving this message to, is to the local pastor of that local church at Ephesus. That's our job. We get God's message and we share that message with God's people. Right? Now, I know we like to think everything's supernatural, and that's not the case here. It's not the context here. This is simply a message that is being communicated to the pastor, and he's saying, okay, now you take this message and you give it to everybody else in that church at Ephesus, because this is what they need. Now, I want to tell you what I am, or where I am as your pastor. I've had a lot of time to think in the last 3 months. Bless my heart, I've done a lot of thinking. And in the last 3 months, God has given me where we need to go as a church. I stand before you without any question, with full confidence. I know where we need to go as a church. And these messages are based on where we need to go. These messages are not my messages, so please do not listen to these messages and say, well, that's Brother Doug or Brother Doug said. It's not about me. This is about God's message getting to you and to me. Okay? And so as I preach these messages, please take it very seriously. We're not here to fill time slots. We're here to hear from God. Amen? You don't want to hear from me. You want to hear from God. Amen? That's the point to it all. So what does God want us to know? What did God want the church at Ephesus to know? Well, first thing he wanted them to know is found in verse 2. He said, I know your deeds. I know your deeds. I know everything that's going on there, both good and bad. And there were some good things going on there. Their perseverance, their work, their toil, their labor. They didn't tolerate evil men. They stood up for the gospel. There was a lot of good things going on there. But there were some bad things going on there. Some things that were not acceptable. And here's what you need to know. There are no secrets in the church. Listen, I may not know. You may not know what they're doing. They may not know what you're doing. But I want you to understand this. Jesus knows everything that is going on in His church. You say, how does He know, Brother Doug? Well, I'm glad you asked. Verse 1 tells us, said to the angel of the church at Ephesus, write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, says this. The one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, those golden lampstands are the church. You read about that in chapter 1, right? So here's what I want you to understand. Here's what God wants us to get. Are you listening? Say amen. Amen. Jesus is here. You think you're sitting beside your spouse, your children, your friends. No, you're not. You're sitting beside Jesus. Maybe you are sitting beside your spouse, but the most important person you're sitting beside is Jesus. He is here right now. He sees what you're doing. He knows what you're thinking. You ever look at your wife or your husband and you could tell by the look on their face what they're thinking? Jesus knows what you're thinking right now. He knows what you've been thinking. He's seen everything we've done thus far today. He knows everybody that's here. He knows everybody that's not here that decided they didn't need to come today. He saw the offerings that were given. He knows the ones that were generous and those that were stingy. He knows. He's heard every song that was sung. And He knows everyone that just belted out to the praise and to the glory of God. And He knows the ones that mumbled, God is so good, God is so good, yeah, yeah, yeah. He knows. He knows everything that has occurred. He's heard every prayer. He knows the prayers that were given to impress men and the prayers that were given to disregard people and go straight to the throne room of God. He knows. Because He's here. And not only is He here. Oh, I praise God that He's here, don't you? Amen. But not only is He here. And you get this, He's going with you when you leave. See, we think of church as someplace we go on Sunday or Wednesday. No, you're still the church when you leave here. Right? And Jesus is with you because as a believer, you have been indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God. So when you leave here, you understand this. Everything you say this week, you're saying in the face of Jesus Christ our Lord. Everything you do this week, you're saying before the presence of Jesus Christ our Lord. He knows everything that His people are doing inside the church. Everything that His people are doing outside the church. So there is no denying. There's no excuses. Jesus knows. So as you sit here and as you examine yourself, don't think of, well, they need to know. Jesus knows you. He's concerned about you as an individual. And we will not be right as a church until us as individual church members are right. You know that? And Jesus knows it all. Oh, I like that. I really do. Jesus knows where you are, where you've been, and what you're doing. With all that in mind, I remind you, there's a lot of good things going on in Victory. Oh, Victory's a great church. There's no place on earth that I'd rather be. Good people, loving people. Supporting people. But we've got to address this today, just like the church at Ephesus. And we've got to ask ourselves, do we have a problem? I'm not even pointing my finger at us and saying we do have a problem. I just want us to ask the question, do we have a problem? Because when Jesus said, I know, he then said, I have this against you. I have this against you. You see, most people don't want to think that, God has something against his church, and because that's no fun. Church is supposed to be a place where you go and you're uplifted and everything's good and we all hold hands and we're happy when we come, we're happy when we leave. So we don't like to think that Jesus would have a problem with his church. And after all, we come to church, we give our offerings, we serve. Isn't that enough? Have you ever heard people say, well, I don't think God expects. Well, why do you think God doesn't expect whatever it is you don't think? Yeah. Often in the church, it's not about what the church is doing, but it's about what the church is not doing that dishonors God. Oh, churches are filled with activities and programs today. Good activities and programs, and people who are serving in wonderful ways. But what about what churches are not doing? And that's what this church at Ephesus, that was their problem. And their problem specifically was, Jesus said, you have left your first love. Literally in the Greek it reads, left the love you had at the beginning. That word left is the same word used for divorce in the New Testament. You have separated yourself from the love that you had in the beginning. You've neglected, literally, you have neglected the love that you had in the beginning. Have you ever seen love neglected? In years of marriage counseling, and I know Brother Michael sees a lot of this now, and you know, the one phrase I cringe at is when a husband or wife says, I don't love them anymore. Oh, I just, oh, no. 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 I want to tell you, if you question, do you love your spouse, you need to understand. Or you need to ask the question, how did you get there? And most of the time, you got there because either yourself or your spouse neglected to do maintenance. And love requires maintenance. You don't just fall in love and everything's peachy and you hold hands throughout all eternity. No, let me say, if you're going to get married, you better be ready to work on that relationship. It requires continual maintenance. And when you stop that maintenance, I promise you, the love will cease. It will. When your wife does not thinks that you don't love her anymore, oh, that relationship's going to get cold. When your husband thinks that you don't love him anymore, that relationship is going to get cold. Often what happens, of course, people divorce themselves from that situation. They separate themselves. They leave the love they had at the first. But I want to tell you what else happens. Sometimes couples just stay together. Well, we're just going to stay together. I don't love him, but I'm going to stay together because divorce is wrong. Have you ever heard people say, well, divorce is wrong, so I'm just going to stay married? What a sad relationship. There's a lot of people like that. They stay together, but there's no relationship. They live in the same house, but there's no relationship. And that's what Jesus is talking about here spiritually. Oh, people, you know, we have stopped trying we're going to keep coming to church, but there's no relationship. We have stopped supporting. But we're going to throw that little offering in every once in a while, but we're not actually going to get involved and serve because there's no relationship. We're going to come. We're going to give offerings. We're We're not going to do the really bad stuff like killing, stealing, or commit adultery or anything like that, because that's wrong. But, you know, I don't really have a relationship with God. And when we come to church, we say, man, something's missing. I don't know what's wrong. I don't know what's wrong. It must be the pastor. He preaches too long. He preaches too short. He's not exciting enough. He's too mundane. He's too exciting. Or maybe it's those young people. You know, those young people are out of control today. There's just no discipline. They do whatever they want when they want to do it. So, you know, parents need to be stronger with their children. Oh, we look and we make all kinds of excuses. But the truth is, oftentimes we've separated ourselves from our first love. The love that we had in the beginning. And when we do that, we cannot blame the church. We have to blame ourselves. Because nobody can separate me in my relationship with God except me. And until each member focuses on our relationship with Jesus Christ instead of focuses on what everybody else is doing right or wrong, the love of the church will not be repaired. Brings us to point number four. Remember and rebuild. Now, see, it's at this point, man, I've been sitting on this message for 3 months, okay? I've been examining my love and I've been realizing that, oh, goodness gracious, I don't know how many times I've apologized to God that, Lord, I'm sorry. But I didn't love you with all my heart, soul, and mind. I loved you a little bit, but, you know, my love is not right. So don't think I'm pointing a finger at you. I'm pointing a finger at me. What have we got to do? We have to remember and to rebuild. Remember and rebuild. Remember the way it was early in the relationship. Do you remember when you were dating your spouse? I was so cool. When Beth and I were dating, I remember we held hands. Everywhere we go, we held hands, you know. Couldn't keep our hands off one another, and I'm not talking about in a dirty way. I'm talking about always had my arm around her, always holding her hand, always sitting close to her. I had a Chevy truck. That was one of the reasons I was cool. I had a Chevy truck, and in that Chevy truck, we had something called bench seats. I don't guess they do that anymore if you're young. It was just a seat all the way across the vehicle, you know. There wasn't bucket seats or two seats. There was one seat. And guess where Beth sat? Right here. And I remember one day I told her. I said, babe, I bet you remember this. I said, babe, don't you ever move. I always want you right here. Darling, don't ever move. So what I did was went and bought vehicles with bucket seats. You see, I remember what it was like to talk to her on the phone. That if I was not with her, I wanted to be with her. Listen, money was no object when I was dating Beth. It didn't bother me to spend whatever the only object was. I didn't have much of it, money to spend. But I'd have spent everything on her. Why? Because I loved her. Still do, by the way. I remember that. When I would have done anything for her. And I still will. But I think through the years that there's been times in our relationship that I, not her, but I have allowed it to grow cold. By not doing the maintenance I should have done. That's on me. That's not her. You know, your church relationship grows the same way. Works the same way. Your relationship with God works the same way. Do you remember? And here's the challenge. Remember what it was like when you first loved Jesus. Remember what it was like when you were saved. And right after you were saved, I remember that night I was saved at a revival. I was just standing out in the parking lot thinking, I know, I'm saved. I'm a child of God. I'm going to heaven. And I'd look around at all the adults and they were doing adult things. I was a young man and I just, you know, don't y'all know how wonderful this is? And I don't think they got it. But to be honest with you, through the years, something changed. There was a time I loved to come to church. I love, you know, and all this. And I tell you, you know, you take 3 months where you don't preach, a preacher that don't preach, it reminds you how much you really love what God has called you to do. But it's so easy to get into that rut, to just come. To quit doing the maintenance, to really stop and say, God, I love you. Jesus, I love you. To do that love that you had at the first. See, we have to understand that it's love that's missing in most of those cases. And it's our own personal fault. The challenge was, remember what it could be like. Think about what it is. And get it back to what it should be like. You don't have to stay here. What you're doing is not working. You got to fix the relationship. How do you fix the relationship? This is kind of a dirty word in churches, but you got to repent. Repent. Change your way. Change your direction. Do something different. Don't think anything's going to change if you keep doing what you're doing. Because it's not. For many people, the joy is gone, the passion's gone. And the only way to fix it is to change what you're doing. It's not just going to happen. Well, I want to be closer to God, you say, and well, what are you doing to get closer to God? If it's not working, fix it. Say, how do you fix it? First thing is you start trying again. Quit just showing up at church and saying, okay, I've done my religious thing and going home and forgetting about it until you show up the next time. That's not what relationship's about. That's not what love is. That's kind of like that husband don't love his wife, but he shows up to go to bed at night, gets up the next morning, leaves again. You know, no. James chapter 4, verse 8 says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. I want to share with you a prayer I had several months ago, a couple years ago. My prayer was, Lord, I want to know You like I've never known You before. I want to know You, Lord, like I've never known You before. You have to be careful what you prayed, because I prayed that prayer, Lord, I just want to know You. Whatever it takes to know You more and to be deeper in love with You, Lord, whatever's needed, Lord, just, I want to know You. 2 years later, 2 years, 2 back surgeries and some depression and wondering if I was done and all that. The last 3 months, God has blessed me beyond measure. You see, I had to quit studying because I was preaching. I started studying to know God. Just to learn God. And today I can't say that I know God as much as I want to know Him. But I want to tell you what, the last 3 months have been such a blessing to me. To getting started to know God. You ever pray, God, I want to know You? Do you ever draw near to God? Just, Lord, I come to you just to know you. I read your word just to know you. Lord, I want to be close to you. Because that's what relationship's about. Sometimes I just put my arm around Beth and say, Beth, I love you. Do you do that? If you're married and you don't, you should. Sometimes you should put your arm around and just say, I'm sorry, I know I messed up. Sometimes you need to go to God and say, God, I blew it. I've let the love go. Lord, I don't like living this way. Help me to come back. You gotta make the move. You gotta start trying. If you do not, you'll stay where you are. Second thing you do is you desire the gift. You have a desire. 1 Corinthians 12:31 says, but earnestly desire the greater gifts. And I show you still a more excellent way. He said, desire the best, the greatest gifts. What is that? 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, but now faith, hope, and love abide. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Jesus is saying the best gift that I can possibly give you is love. Do you ever pray, Lord, give me the spiritual gift of love. Help me to love better. Help me to look at people and love them, even when those people are weird. Lord, help me to look at people with funny colored hair who dress differently than I do or have all this stuff that I don't like. Help me to love them anyway. Help me to love, Lord, those church members who are hard to get along with. Help me to love, Lord. You ever pray that? Give me your kind of love because you cannot do it. I've tried it. It don't work. I'm going to love. No, I'm not. It's got to come from God. But you have to have a desire for it. God says, this is the best thing I can give you. The best thing I can give you is love. Do you ever pray for that? Do you pray for faith? Do you, you know, we pray, Lord, give me that new job. Lord, heal me. Get me over this mess that I'm in. Lord, help. But he said, the best thing, this is the best thing that you could get. Is it what you desire? It should be what we desire. Because see, in closing, the loving church will thrive. I mean, if we're a loving church, we're going to be looking for a place, or we're going to be looking for a way to seat all the people that need to come, that want to come. The loving church will thrive, but the loveless church will die. That's what he says. Verse 5, remember from where you have fallen and repent, do the deeds you did at the first, or else I am coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place. What is the lampstand? That is the church. What is he saying? If you do not repent, I will remove the church. I will remove the church. If you leave the love, you will lose the church. You see how serious this is? It's not okay not to love. You see, you may be willing to be a member of a church that does not love, but Jesus is not willing to be a part of that church. And I don't want to be a part of a church that Jesus doesn't want to be a part of. Amen. Amen. That's how important it is. You know, we get caught up in things and programs and such. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying programs are not wonderful. We have some wonderful things going on at Victory. But we have to be real careful or we'll let the love go. That's my challenge. Are you a member of the church at Ephesus who left the love they had at first? If you are, it's time to repent. It's time to say, bye, Ephesus. You're not my church. I'm going to love. Now, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ is your Savior, you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, if you're here today and you do not know the joy of the love of God, you don't know love. You may know lust, you may know liking somebody, but let me tell you, greater love is no man than he laid down his life for his friend, and that's what Jesus did for you, because you are a sinner. You have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're just like everybody else in here. And because of that, you need a Savior. And Jesus loved you so much, He paid your sin debt upon the cross of Calvary. And today, He invites you to come. Come. You may be trying to be a good person. You just don't understand. Why can't you be a good person? Well, you got to start with Jesus. And you got to start with the love of Jesus. You know? If you don't know Jesus, you come. If you're here today and you know you're one of the church members that, and I'm not pointing fingers. I'm saying consider it. And something's missing. It's likely the love. Do not point your finger at anybody else, but you work it out with you and Jesus, because that's who it's between. All right? The altar's open. You want to come pray? Come on. We'll be here to counsel with you if we can help you. If we can pray with you, we'd love to. But whatever the Lord leads, with the point of the invitation that I ask you to just let God lead. Jesus is here. What does He want you to do? Then do it. Our Father in heaven, oh Lord, I praise You for the privilege of preaching. I thank You, Lord, for just this opportunity to stand before Your people and to share Your Word. And now, Lord, I pray Your Word will do its work. For, Lord, it's sharp. And it can change lives. Father, I pray You will do that in this service today. Change our hearts. Change our lives. Give us a willing spirit to change for Your glory. In Jesus' name.